You're listening to Conversations That Matter with your host, Terry Conrad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Conversations That Matter. I'm Terry Conrad, your host, and I am thrilled to introduce you to my very good friend, Shirley Weir, who is on a mission. And I'm going to let Shirley introduce herself a little bit, and I want to prepare people for the conversation that we're about to have. So, Shirley, go ahead and explain who you are, first of all.
Hi, my name is Shirley, and I am a perimenopause chick.
A perimenopause chick. And your mission is to?
Yeah, I know. It's not exactly how most people crack open the conversation, is it? But I'm on a mission to do just that. I'm on a mission to crack open the conversation about everything to do with perimenopause and menopause, and to help women navigate the journey that's best for them.
Which is a huge, huge conversation. It is a conversation that I believe matters a lot. And one of the reasons that I believe it matters a lot, and I want all the men who are listening to this about to jump off to pay attention and stop, hold on. This is an important conversation for everybody because menopause doesn't just touch the women, of course. It also touches the men and all the children. And anyone who's around that person going through whatever the heck it is that they're going through, they get to experience it right along with them. And by the way, I mean, we'll probably talk about this too, but isn't there sort of, I mean, I think there's manopause too.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, and I haven't actually dove into the research side of that, but I'm glad you brought up the men conversation, because my question is, where else are men going to learn about this?
Absolutely.
Right? So here's a great starting point.
So that kind of is what brings us to having this conversation in the first place, which is you actually have a marketing background. You had your own marketing company.
I do.
And so, you know, so obviously this is not your like career path that you were on from the beginning. So how did you kind of end up? Why don't you give us a little bit of your history and your story and tell us kind of how we ended up talking about it here today?
Sure. I have worked in my own marketing company for the last 14 years. It's called Leapfrog Marketing. I work from home. So I'm an entrepreneur and I'm CEO of the household. I have two children, a tween and a teen. And in my late 30s, I found that I was waking up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep. And I thought at the time that I was gifted. Now, don't laugh. I really thought, oh, this is a gift. I can get up and I can do 4 hours of work before my kids get up.
Right.
And then I can get my mom to her doctor's appointments. And then I can get the kids to wherever they need to be. And I can, and I am superwoman.
You are, in fact, superwoman.
And I did that for a good stretch of time.
Yep.
Alongside of the sleep deprivation came something that I couldn't quite name, but I have a name for it now, and it's extreme brain fog. So I love to make lists. You know, I love to have all my little check boxes. I could make a list, Terry, but all I could do was stare at it.
Yep.
And whether that was brain fog or whether it was a combination of brain fog and sleep deprivation, I thought I was actually developing the first signs of Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So time went by. I went to my doctor. I did some research with Dr. Google. That was very confusing and conflicting. I went to my doctor. I didn't quite know how to have that conversation. I mean, I was there for an annual checkup. And at the end, she said, is there anything else? And I thought, well, I'm here. I better say something.
Had it crossed your mind yet? Because you weren't even 40 yet.
It had crossed my mind, but I had done what a lot of my audience still does, and their response when I now introduce myself to them as a menopause chick. My girlfriend had come over when I had two toddlers, and she handed me a book called Everything You Need to Know About Perimenopause for Dummies or something like that.
Right.
And I looked at her like she had three heads.
Yeah.
And I tossed, you know, can't you see that I'm a busy working entrepreneur, mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
I threw the book in the corner. And
hello,
I thought,
way too young to be even thinking about that.
I'm really sorry that you're going through this right now, but I'm really busy and I don't have time to research perimenopause.
Yeah.
And so I was like 38, 39 at the time. And then really by the time that I rolled around to mentioning it to my doctor and saying, I think I might be experiencing some signs of menopause. She looked at my chart and she looked at me and she said, you're 41, you're too young.
Yes.
which was great for about a millisecond. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the place of, oh my God, it's all in my head.
Right.
Everything that I've been experiencing, I've made up, I'm cuckoo, you know, and I went on. I got dressed, left her office, and I carried on.
Right.
So fast forward about five or six years, and I'm still going in and out of chronic sleep deprivation, chronic brain fog, depression,
yes.
Weight gain.
Yes.
Still having a period. Things are changing, but, you know, it's menopause is still something that's way off in the distance.
And can we quickly stop future. And define the difference? What is perimenopause versus sure. menopause?
Sure. So, and that's great that you asked that question, because I think it's a myth that menopause is something that lasts for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Menopause is one day on the calendar.
Right.
And it's 12 months after you haven't had a period for a year.
Right.
So I haven't had a period since January, so I might be approaching menopause on the calendar, but if I get a period now, you start the counting all over again.
It's crazy.
Perimenopause is a relatively new term. It was coined in the early 1990s, which is not that long ago.
That is not long ago.
And it can represent anything from 5 to 15 years leading up to menopause. So the average age of menopause is 51.2, and you could be experiencing perimenopause, which is a phase of life that can represent slight changes or severe, anywhere from 5 to 15 years. So 35 could be sort of the earliest that you would start to
which is notice exactly
some
when,
changes.
Exactly when I started to suspect something was up.
Yeah. And typically it's usually the same time where you are super busy with family, sandwich generation,
yes.
career commitments, relationship commitments, the whole nine yards.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
you've probably, if you're anything like me, thought, I got time to worry about that later.
Well, that was certainly my experience. I mean, obviously
yes.
I'm in perimenopause still. Ongoing, never ending. And I call it meno brain. You call it fog brain. I call it meno brain. People laugh at me though, and I get the
I
same
know.
Thing all the time. They're like, Terry, you're too young. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, tell that to my body because my body is taking an issue with me.
And so my discovery is the reason they say you're too young is because our society and our culture has educated us to believe that menopause equals old.
Right. And that's a whole part of the conversation I definitely
right.
want to have, because I do think that stigma, the emotional side of admitting that that's where you are in life, and then experiencing all of the weight gain and the sleep deprivation and the emotional roller coaster and then, you know, and realizing, like, I have a mother right now who has early onset Alzheimer's and we're in the same boat.
Yes.
You talk about looking at your list and not, you know, I'll go to the pantry and I'll forget what I even went to get, you know, and it's just like, and meanwhile, I'm a successful career woman, and a professional who needs to be taken fairly seriously. And so we don't talk about this.
We don't. And when we do, there's some myths that need to be debunked. So you kind of have to do what we're doing right now is like, I want to have this conversation with you, but first let me, you know, define and redefine and reframe this really. You know, I joke, but I say, I want to crack open the conversation. I don't want to shut down the cocktail party.
Yeah.
When
exactly.
I mention the word, right?
Right.
I don't want people, ooh, I got to get out of here. She's going to talk about bodily functions because I'm really not that kind of girl. I'm not. But I do think that there's an opportunity for our generation to not only define or redefine, but to really reframe it.
Yes.
Because, there's some challenges that you can experience, but there's also some opportunities that we can embrace.
Absolutely.
Too. And the more that we talk about it, I think we can probably put some of those challenges into a bucket and find ways to cope, deal, whether it's just feeling like you're not alone in the world.
Huge.
We're going through that. And then we can move on and let's celebrate some newfound wisdom. Let's celebrate some confidence. Let's celebrate some freedom.
So interesting to me. Do you remember the scene? I think we shared this story when it came out, but there was the House of Cards scene where I can't even remember her name, but she's in front of the fridge.
Claire
gets in front of the, and she keeps getting caught sort of in front of the fridge getting cool because she's having hot flashes, obviously. And so there is like the epitome of the successful, powerful, yeah, strong woman. You know, she's the wife of the vice president of the United States. She's dynamic. She's gorgeous. She's powerful. She's a mover. She's a shaker. She's everything every woman would really want to be. And yet she didn't feel confident enough to admit where she was in her life. Like, it was just, it was something that she was hiding. And the absolutely fact that we feel the need to hide that, that's where I felt that this was a conversation that needed to happen. Just, and I know this is your passion. It's like, let's get real. Let's break it down. Let's stop hiding it. There's nothing to hide.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there are a few pop culture scenes, but it's hard to name more than, you know, three or four.
That's right. Because it caused all this, it caused all this commotion. Everybody's like, wow, I think we just addressed menopause on television, which was like this big deal.
Yes. But did they address it?
Isn't that the question? Interesting. Good point. So
I don't know. I mean, I sometimes compare it to other conversations that are now at the forefront. Yeah. Like, it's okay to go to work and talk about, you know, your mother has been diagnosed with cancer, your son's going to be tested for ADHD, your daughter's experiencing bullying at school, you need to leave early because you need to you're pumping to feed your baby. You can go and you can say all of those things in the workplace now that you couldn't say in my sister's, like my sister's 10 years older than I am, or my mother's generation. Those conversations just did not happen.
Isn't that interesting?
I believe for the most part, we were taught to suck it up in all of those areas.
Yes.
Ooh, she had me, you know?
Yeah.
And now I want people to feel empowered that it's a phase of life. There's no get out of jail free card. Right. Everybody goes through it, but they go through it in their own unique way.
It's the joy of being a woman. It's so fabulous.
Yeah. That's interesting. A lot of time and energy figuring out how we're going to talk to our child about puberty, how we're going to explain, how we're going to educate them on sex. But who's educating us?
That's a really scary notion, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
here I am.
So here you are, and you've got this whole online library that you've created of resources at menochicks.com. Is that
it's
right?
It's menopausechicks.
Menopausechicks.com, and where you've captured all of this. How long have you spent researching this? Like, when did you decide this is my mission? This is when I really have to get serious about educating the world about menopause.
A year and a half ago, I was out on a coffee date with my husband talking about this. Mm-hmm. and he's a really great person to have the conversation
good for him,
with. And he said, you just need to do it. You know, I was talking about the concept of a website or whatever. And he said, well, do it. And I said, that's right. I just need to do it. I'll start a blog and no one will read it, but it will be a way of starting it. And I did. And the universe exploded in a very kind way. So, you know, I'm pursuing it. It's my pet project. It's my passion.
We were just going down the road of, how you got to, you created your blog, you knew you wanted to do this. You weren't really sure who was going to be reading it, but here you are a year and a half later. Why don't you give us a little history about, you know, where, like, what's been the feedback? What kind of like, what have you been doing with it exactly?
Sure. So, like I said, I started the blog. I thought no one was going to read it. And then in just a very short period of time, which told me that there's not a lot of information available out there for women who are looking for either to be their own experiences to be validated or to be looking for some real directional information, that there's not a lot out there. And so in my first year, you know, a health line in the States, which is an online health magazine, recognized Menopause Chicks as one of the top menopause blogs.
Wow.
And Share Care, which is a Dr. Oz site, named Menopause Chicks as the number 5.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it was amazing. And, And I was like, wow, what have I cracked open here? But really, it just told me that, first of all, it's a great niche from a marketing point of view. But secondly, that there's a thirst for information. Now, I don't have any medical expertise. I am the patient advocate.
Yes.
And so
the curator.
My mission is to be the curator. And you mentioned, you know, a library, and I think that I don't know when that library will ever be built fully.
Right, right.
So what we're doing is just one step at a time, trying to carve through the best of the best and discard the rest, because, you know, I share my own personal experiences, but I will never tell a woman what's right for them. But right. I want to be able to shorten the distance for a woman or her, you know, her loved ones who might be doing research on her behalf to say, here's the shortest distance between two points for you. I've done the research, so you don't have to. Save some time, save some resources, some money in terms of going down all these different alleys and, you know, and being on the internet and looking for a topic like this that does have a lot of confusion attached to it can send you in some crazy directions. There's lots of pop-up ads that promise the magic wand solution,
and
you won't find them on my site.
Awesome. Sorry to interrupt there. I was just going to say, so many of us, you know, we go to the doctor with the best of intentions, but I think like the time that you spend in a doctor's office these days is so minute, and you may or may not even have a relationship with that doctor. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's so surface, and I never feel, I've lost a lot of faith, frankly, in the medical system. I just don't feel comfortable about that you know, that they even know who I am or what my needs are or what changes I might be experiencing or why. And so, like, if when you meet someone who's, you know, if they're bold enough to kind of share with you their story, like, what are some of the things that you tell them? Like, what are some of the first steps?
The very first step is to get informed. You have to be your own best health advocate.
Right.
And you need to know what routes are going to work for you. So when I say that, what I mean is, if you have a great relationship with your family physician,
awesome.
Like you just mentioned,
that
is probably an excellent place to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to rule out other things, which is really important.
Yes.
And if you don't have a GP or you don't have a great relationship, or maybe you just in your life, you lean towards a more natural alternative, then maybe naturopath, or maybe, you know, you don't really have any symptoms that, quote, need to be managed.
Right.
But you're looking for longevity. You're looking for vitality. You're interested in pursuing acupuncture, yoga, meditation. You're looking for a great book to read.
Right.
Those are things that are going to help you through the midlife years.
The midlife years, those dreaded words. It's not, it's never, you can't even believe you're there. Like, you're sitting there in the middle of it and you're like, how is this possible?
I
still feel like I'm, you know, maybe I maxed out around 35. I certainly don't feel this old.
Yeah. And not once did I ever dream about growing up and being the menopause chick.
Right? This is not the dream career. Oh my gosh. So funny. That is hysterical. So,
and then the day I put it on my LinkedIn profile, I'm like,
that's so true. Like I have found many times, like when I'm sharing sort of some of my meno experiences, people are uncomfortable. Like they are immediately uncomfortable. They're almost like, it's almost like I'm admitting that I have like a disease or, you know, something that I am not in control of. I'm not exactly sure what that reaction is.
Well, I think that really falls into a category called vulnerability.
Right.
Because, I mean, I know you probably follow Brené Brown, and
I'm a big
fan of Brené Brown, and she's doing an excellent job in sort of redefining what it means to be vulnerable.
Right.
Which is another word that needs to be redefined in our culture, because it does portray sort of that image of you're weak, you're incapable, you're inept.
Yes.
You can't handle it, and something's wrong with you.
Yes.
And the truth is that this is just part of life, and that if you're talking about it and you're being vulnerable, you're actually being courageous,
right,
and you're paving the path for a lot of the rest of us.
Absolutely. But there is that. She always talks also about shame.
Yes.
And how there is sort of a shame attached to this weakness.
Yes.
That we feel that we have. And that's something that I would love to eradicate. Like, I just don't,
yes.
I don't believe that being open about what you're experiencing at a natural part of life should be something that we should be ashamed of. And,
that's
and,
right.
And if we are able to talk about it and understand it better, I'm imagining that that makes an impact in our families as well, because now you're becoming, you're sort of taking charge of your own health and you're saying, well, this is something that I'm experiencing, you know, it's not you, this is something that I'm going through with my body.
And bang on.
Yeah. Right.
You know, when I first started kind of making the list of folks to have conversations with, I didn't quite think of like us first, like girlfriends first, sisters first, mothers first.
Right.
Right. Because we cannot be judgmental.
Right.
Right. And I've had girlfriends hold up a stop sign in front of me and say, whoa, sister, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about
totally.
That. I don't want to know anything about it till I'm 50. And I'm like, well, that's your choice. But that's really surprising.
It is
in a way.
Like, I have
yeah.
to say, like, I know I that rings absolutely true. I can see that happening. But the question is what is that? Is it just that, you know, I think we do. There is an emotional equation, I think, that when you start to admit that these are perimenopausal symptoms that you're experiencing, that there is that natural equation to, wow, I'm old. And
well,
why don't
it's
we
fear-based.
Talk? Yeah, like, so the emotional side of this conversation is actually, I think, really big.
Yeah.
And that maybe, you know, when we can learn to manage the emotional side a little bit better, that opens the door to arming ourselves with better information and actually taking charge of our own health. But
exactly.
So, I mean, when you look at, you know, wow, I'm now having to admit that I'm drying up and I'm getting old and I'm not sexy anymore. And like all of those things that are tied to this experience, or at least how we've always imagined it before.
Right. Or if I tell my boss, I might get overlooked for that promotion.
Right.
Or they might not choose me to make the presentation or whatever.
Right. What if you start crying in the middle
yes.
of the meeting? God forbid.
Yes. Or crying and sweating and they don't know which is
which.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give me a fan. Give me a fan. Isn't it hot in here? Yeah. Oh man. Hot flashes are my friend. I find this so fascinating and I think it's really important. I love the work that you're doing. I think it's, you know, like you said, it was such a gaping hole that you were able to fill it so quickly is a testament to the hard work that you're doing, but it's also a big gaping hole. Like, why was that there?
It's an interesting phenomenon. I can't answer the question of why it wasn't there before, but I can tell you about one of the inspirations for starting this.
Right.
My son is 13 right now. He's been a hockey fan all his life. I can remember from the age of 3 watching Hockey Night in Canada, and there would be commercials for Viagra.
Yes.
So he has known his entire life, because when he asks the question, we try to answer it as honestly and as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And he's known what Viagra is, what Viagra does. And I thought, but there is
nothing
TV about this topic.
Right.
And then those signs just kept popping up. When he was in grade 6, he came home from school one day, and it was the day that they had had the sex talk, and his teacher had handed out pads to the girl. He was telling me about that, and so I just kind of went on and had a little conversation with him about what that meant and what was going on and about girls getting their periods, and I said, it prepares her body to have a baby, and he looked at me and he said, well, I bet you're glad that's over with. And I didn't have an answer.
Wow.
Because I just stopped in my tracks and I thought, yeah, it's not over with, but I don't know how to explain menopause. And he doesn't. And it was like, end of conversation.
Yeah. Interesting.
So to this day, I don't know. I mean, he knows about my business, but I don't know if he actually knows. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is part of the problem when we are talking to our kids too. In like, I know my boys would certainly tell you that they remember a couple of times where they thought I was losing my mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think they'll be darn happy when I'm officially over and through it. But do we know, like, is there an end, or is this sort of like, you know, because life is always something, it seems like. So this is just another phase, more challenges. But there's always, like, as we age, there's going to be different challenges.
Yeah, well, from what I know from my research, that so first of all, you know, when I really mean going through perimenopause. So after menopause, which is 12 months after you haven't had a period for a year, often the symptoms or the experiences that you've been having will subside.
Oh, let's hope.
I said often. So if they don't, I mean, that is something that you might want to look into for your own personal health care. But other concerns arise, and one of the pieces of advice that I've received is don't wait until then. So, you know, bone density is a huge concern. Heart health is a huge concern. It's not something to wait to look into or to investigate or take action on, you know, until your 52nd birthday. Do it now. And one of my very first research expeditions, I went to hear a doctor speak at the Women's Health Clinic, and she informed me that in the year 1900, women lived to be 50.
Yes, wow.
And so menopause was a non-event. However, today we expect to live to be 100. At least I do, and I hope you do, right?
I'm not sure that. Anyway, go on.
So I expect to live to be 100. However, retirement homes are filled with women who have dementia and women who have osteoporosis. And so that was just the hugest yellow flag for me, because I was like, I don't want to spend the last 20 years of my life dealing with that.
Me
And so
neither.
what you do now when you're 25, 35, 45, it's never too late and it's never too early
Yes.
to start putting some things in place so that you can prevent that down the road.
Great advice. Great advice. I think it's time to make an appointment with my doctor. Shirley, I love what you're doing. I think this
Thank
is
you.
really important work. I really do. I think that, every woman needs to be the advocate for their own health. And health is a big part of our lives. If we don't have our health, then nothing else really matters. So I think this is really important. If people wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way that they can reach out to you?
Well, I'm everywhere online. Menopausechicks.com. On Twitter, it's at menopausechicks. On Facebook, it's menopausechicks.
Yes.
Pinterest, you can find some quotes that we love, and Instagram, and you know, phone me, email me if you have a story that you'd like to share or reach out. I'd be happy to speak with you.
I love that. Before I let you go, I always ask my guests, if you're looking back at the end of your life, and you're going to be at 100 years old, apparently, looking back over your lifetime, what will have been the most meaningful to you? What is your legacy that you're going to be leaving?
I just heard this on Sunday, watching Super Soul Sunday, and the question that's been on top of mind for me all week has been, did I love enough?
Yes, did I love enough? I love that. Who said that? Can't remember.
Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist.
Oh, Paulo Coelho, I love him. He's fabulous. Did I love enough? What a great measurement of a successful life. I love
I
that.
guess menopause chicks could say, did I love myself enough?
Ooh, that's profound. I think as women, we have a tough time with that. We tend to give, 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 give.
Yeah, it's time to put ourselves at the top of the to-do list.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. It was a really important conversation to have. And I feel like I lost you again. Horrible signal, but I am grateful that you were here. And, we've got to stay in touch and keep this conversation going.
Thanks, Terry.
Talk soon, Shirley.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.